This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have you here. Look, I just want to remind you all that that cell phone that you have, that actually smart device, that Apple or Android, it's just gotten a whole lot powerful, and you may not know this, because we have our Automotive Repair Podcast Network app available for you. It's so cool. For your smartphone, the ultimate professional automotive repair playlist. Save your favorites, watch videos, listen to audio, share episodes, so much in it. Automotive Repair, podcastnetwork.com/app. I'll also see you in New York City area, Tarryton, New York, at the TST Big Event, Saturday, March 28th, 2026. Hear from educators Andrew Fisher, Ken Zanders, Adam Roberts. Go to tstseminars.org. Sign up for this one-day technician training. A lot of people from New England and Pennsylvania, Delaware, of course, New York. They all go, and the keynoter is Tracy Capriotto this year. I think I know her. Hey, we've got some great, great partners on the show. We have to give them great homage. Hey, you know the technician shortage is real, but NAPA Auto Care has a solution at no cost to members. The NAPA Auto Care Apprentice Program builds tomorrow's technicians through a 2-year, 9-stage curriculum. Learn more at member.napaautocare.com or talk to your NAPA representative today. Hey, did you know that NAPA Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at napatracs.com. Hey, welcome back. It's ready to go. Guess who I'm with? Buffalo boy Jeff Rudnick from Pit Crew Loyalty. Hello, Jeff.
Well, hello, Carm. How are you?
All right. So we're going to kind of give you an idea when we're recording this thing, because before we turned on the mics, we had our violins out for the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, we did. And we fixed everything.
We did. Unknowing to them, we know exactly what they should be doing now.
If we had recorded it, all problems would be fixed.
I know. That's exactly right. Pit Crew Loyalty. You know, I'll tell you, this episode's going to be about transacting with clients, obviously from a marketing perspective, and how we make clients feel good and what do we have to offer them, maybe, you know, pre or post transaction. Jeff and I got together. We chatted about a whole bunch of things. I'm so excited to have him back. PickerLoyalty.com, by the way. You know, what I find so fascinating about your company, and you're one of our sponsors, and we so appreciate that, Jeff, is you do email and SMS reminders, digital gift cards, customer referrals, reward dollars, reward gift certificates, employee spotlights, oil change clubs, charitable giving, and business cross-pollinator, and segmented messaging. I mean, where'd you come up with all this?
It was an overnight idea that happened over the course of 25 years. You know, it's weird. In the beginning, it was all about features. You know, we've been driven so much by CRM in this industry there's some great CRMs out there, you know, and I partner with the lion's share of them. But what was missing was really strategy. And then how do you make that strategy automated? Because our client base, and you know, it's no secret. I mean, you can come up with all the cool things you want, but if people can't use them, they're no good. It's easy in some ways to get people revved up about really cool ideas and have them buy something. But then they sit there and go, how do I use it? What makes this thing go? And there's not enough time in the day. I always think in percentages. If you, in the beginning, I would sell this product, which was great, but maybe 1% of the shop owners would dive in and use the thing. And I'd be beating on them and beating on the advisors, how to make the loyalty rewards program work. And the evolution was really to make, there's that phrase that art imitates life. Well, software has to imitate life. And the life of an automotive shop owner and automotive service advisors and even automotive marketing people, so many of the marketing people I work with at a shop, they say they're the marketing coordinator, but I'll be darned if you can get them to, you know, to have 1/3 of their time focused on marketing because they're wearing all these other hats. software has to imitate life. Software has to imitate the life of an automotive shop owner, the service advisor, the marketing coordinator. And that's where we focus, to just be able to convey the ideas, do the setup, which is no easy task. You know, someone says, yes, we have 300-400 things to get ready so that we can then automate.
You make so much sense. I don't care what it is that is a system inside of a business, and let's just call it software as an example. The underutilization of an entire suite of software, all the features, all the options. I have had so many discussions over the years with owners of software companies, and I've said, are you monitoring who's using all this neat new stuff that you put out? Is there someone on the phone that picks and says, hey, Charlie, did you see that recent thing, that category thing we did in point of sale? Yeah, I heard about it. Have you tried it? Don't know how. I started to read about it. There's so much. I tell you, I would be a kid in a candy store if some of the software that we use, the owner of it or a leader of it picked up the phone and says, can I show you a neat new feature? And I would say, yes, kid in a candy store. And I think the underutilization of a lot of our stuff in our business, because life is traveling so fast, is a critical component. So if what I'm hearing from you is that the challenge that you have at Pit Crew to take all those things I kind of rattled off in the beginning and get them to be of a high usership inside of a business, I'm paying X for something. Am I getting my ROI? And is my customer even playing in our sandbox too, right?
We've had to develop and develop and develop. And now we're getting, I wouldn't say overwhelmed, but the usage is skyrocketing. Number one, the automations, having it look embedded inside of the shop management systems for some of them. But also, well, we created a tool called Loyalty Marketing Made Easy so that we can not only set up all the options for a good loyalty rewards program. Okay, we should really sort of cover that a little bit. It doesn't matter if it's mine or anyone else's, but a loyalty rewards program has this consumer facing aspect to it that they need to look at and say, wow, that's cool. I'm getting this, 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 and this. So they can competently understand what they're getting and how they keep it and how they move into better benefits. That's like the customer facing thing. And that all has to be in service to the overall goal of what's good for the vehicle, is good for the consumer, is good for the shop, and is good for the community. So you have to be able to convey all that stuff. And then through Loyalty Marketing Made Easy, take the piece that's really, really good for the shop. Like, how do you get a consumer to feel you and to be in a relationship with you rather than a transaction? Because that's where you go from good to great. And so that's how we've built it.
Jeff, I so agree with you. And absolutely, the last couple of months, the guests that I've had on the show and the topics that we've covered, we have been using the word relationships more and more and more versus, and then the word transactional comes up and says, we got to stop being transactional. We have to learn to be more relationship. Years ago, I'm talking about 22 years ago, I read a book from Neil Rockman all about transactional versus relationship. As much as I thought I was smart back then, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I still think it's hitting a lot of leaders and owners in our industry to stop being in the transactional business. Because, and again, here comes Pit Crew Loyalty and all the other loyalty companies that are out there that are so clever trying to connect me. I mean, Lowe's, Tractor Supply, all of these people that I do business with here in my community, I had to give them my phone number or my name. They're bombarding me and they're telling me, come in and get a free bucket or do this. It's amazing how much I get, and I don't erase them. I want to stay in the know with them. And they're trying to have a relationship with me. They don't want me to be just a transaction. And so it's so smart that in our industry today, we do more of that, but it's not like a local shop owner is not a national company, but he can use Pit Crew Loyalty to feel and act like that.
Yeah, these tools are being driven closer and closer and closer to the source. And I look at the source as the small business owner. These tools are accessible now. They didn't used to be. When you would go to a Lowe's or a Home Depot, and if you dove into the genesis of their loyalty rewards programs, they had hugely expensive consultants coming in to build these things and build the linkages to the point of sale system and then dive into the strategies and how do you use them. We've done that heavy lift. And I would argue we've done the heavy lift more than others have. I don't think that'll remain the case forever, but I'm very proud of what we've built. But it's about, like I said, the making your customers feel, and it has to be authentic. So just, a quick stat for your customer to believe your loyalty program is worth it. They need to get something from it within the first 7 days. There has to be something that they see of value. And it doesn't have to be, this isn't about discounting. This is about, well, this is different. And you can go back to the genesis of this, and just in our industry, if you remember Bob O'Connor et al. From R.L. O'Connor and Associates, and he's passed on, but it survives now at the Institute, with Cecil and the fellas over there. I remember way, way back when, back in the, for me, the early 90s, but he was doing this and preaching this in the mid to late 80s. Every time someone leaves your shop, give them one thing. It's just a simple thing. And psychologically, you're trying to get the consumer to pay less attention to the transaction and more attention to the caring. And so that could be anything that, back in the day, with what would they do? Well, I noticed your rear view mirror was loose and we fixed that, or we fixed the window crank, anything that you can do. We cleaned your vehicle. We, sent it to the car wash. And then it has evolved into a whole suite of not giveaways, but things that trigger and address real behavioral psychology needs of a consumer. For the listener, this might seem scattered. For me, it's because I live it. It's, from the heart, but we're based, like we've talked about, on self-determination theory, that every human being needs to be content at life, to have a chance to love someone other than themselves, be loved by someone other than themselves, feel competent and worthwhile at something, and feel a part of something bigger than themselves. That is anything, family, spouses, children, extended family, the community that you live in, your reason for being. So when you have a bad day, you can feel that you have all this other support group. And absent that, just as humans, not in the automotive industry, but as humans, when you don't have these things present, the bad stuff happens, hopelessness, despair, gangs, drugs and alcohol. You really minimize the possibility of people going in the wrong direction from a societal standpoint when they have these things present, support groups, stuff like that. But it's much deeper with consumer psychology and behavioral science and consumer behavior. People want to work with and transact with people, number one, that make them feel good about themselves. That's actually overriding in life. You're going to attract people into your life and keep friends and have relationships if you make them feel good, if they get a general sense of well-being. And so if you're a merchant, it kind of blows me away how few people focus on this, but just make them feel good about something other than the money that, the transaction they just had. So many shops are diving into community now, as you and I talk about. I believe that we've had a hand in that. It's been 25 years of preaching about it, but this is like universal in life. And it's now the evolution of business, and in particular, small business. People want to feel you. You need to inject heart and soul into your business. And I'm not saying a loyalty rewards program is all you rely on for that. You still need to be involved and do your fundraisers, or your, more importantly, get involved in the community. But if you can make people feel instantly through your rewards program, here's the benefits, and then here's an opportunity to participate as a team with the shop to do something good, whether it's transact with another local business through the local business cross-pollinator, or to do a small fundraiser, which you and I have countless stories of how this has changed shops' lives, like right down to return on investment, putting a spotlight on your customers. I know you told me I can talk forever, and I will, but it's so incredibly important. But this leads to why a loyalty rewards program. I do all these things. If you look at how the larger businesses are functioning in the world, I was at the Institute for the Mars conference, and forgive me, but Wayne Marshall, the CEO of the Institute, his daughter works for a company, it's a pizza place, I forget the name now, in the Midwest. They funnel everything through their loyalty rewards program, from their fundraisers and their community involvement down to their promotions and their promotion specific for loyalty members. Here's what the reason I make this point, and she made it so well for me at that conference. Marketing people, marketing departments, small businesses, what's in it for them? It's marketing efficiency. This is such a cool little megaphone where it's a sandbox. It's a playground where your ideas come to life. And I'll just give you one example, just one example. So we've been signing up a lot of performance shops now recently that, you know, tuner shops, people that have, you know, they're helping people increase horsepower and, you know, the fun stuff. And he said, as part of this, I want to reward people that come to me for their tuning and I want to give them a complimentary session on my dynamometer. And I'm like, all right, this is perfect. In order for him to do this before, he would have to sit at his desk and try to dive through his data. Who's everyone that's had a specific type of a service? Who's someone who's behaved a certain way that qualifies for this? And then how am I going to message them? How am I going to make it work? Well, with the loyalty rewards program, it's idea. It's a query that gets written to grab those people. It gets populated with a graphic directly into the customer loyalty account pages. And that consumer that's eligible for that is directly notified that they're eligible for this complimentary session at the exact time session, the exact time when the consumer wants. So now the complex marketing idea that has 100 to-dos underneath it when the shop owner's sitting there scribbling them down in a notepad now becomes a couple of phone calls and a quick session. And with the right tools that like we've developed, the graphics get designed, lickety-split, it's up in the system, it's on the marketing calendar, go.
I've seen it. It's really slick, yeah.
Today's world, it's hyper-personalization, but it's strategy too. You've got to have these strategies baked in so that the shop owner doesn't have to think about them. So that's how we build these things.
Hey, you know, it's no secret the automotive industry is facing a technician shortage, but NAPA Auto Care has stepped up with a powerful solution, the NAPA Auto Care Apprentice Program. And the best part? It's completely free for members. This program was pioneered by shop owners Pete McNeil and master technician Jake Sorensen at McNeil's Auto Care in Sandy, Utah. They recognized that waiting for skilled technicians to appear wasn't an option, so they built a program to grow their own. By recruiting motivated individuals with the right passion and attitude and providing them with structured training, they proved that apprentices could become the next generation of skilled, certified technicians. The program features a comprehensive 9-stage curriculum with in-depth classroom videos, instructor-led NAPA Auto Tech classes, web-based courses, and hands-on training with a mentor. Apprentices move at their own pace, typically completing the program within 2 years. Graduates earn 4 ASE certifications, the G1, A4, A5, and air conditioning, and are officially registered with the Department of Labor as Journey Workers Automotive Technicians. And here's the business benefit. As apprentices gain skills, they generate billable hours, often boosting shop profits as early as stage 5. Plus, NAPA now offers a new apprentice toolkit developed with Carlisle Tools at an exclusive price, helping break down one of the biggest barriers for new technicians, the cost of tools. Together, NAPA Auto Care and your shop can tackle the technician shortage head on. Start now. Grow your own talent and build your bench for the future. Visit member.napaautocare.com or contact your NAPA representative today and get started with your apprentice program. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NAPA Trax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NAPAtrax, that's NAPATRACS.com. This is good stuff. Thank you so much, Jeff. One of the things that we talked about, and I want to be sure that we cover this, you hit me with a stat that kind of blew me away. The percentage of new callers that have already decided to do business with you.
Oh, yeah.
And how we can stumble the ball on that. Can you tell our listeners what that stat is? You said 70% of new callers have already decided.
From a one and done rate standpoint is what we really talk about. So right now, the average across the industry is 54% of the people that come into your shop for the first time will not come back. With a loyalty rewards program, with our loyalty rewards program, that 54% drops down to 30% as long as they know about the program. And the way they know about the program, it's a couple of ways. It's the poster in the shop. It's the advisor hopefully talking about it. But it's us inviting them and telling them about the program. They're already pre-activated and they get their welcome message. So that is one stat. But another amazing stat, when you're doing direct mail for new customers, you know, and there's a lot of them out there. We know, you know, Upswell, MailShark, they're all good at what they do. But we've seen one and done rates on those. I call them carpet bombs, you know, to new customers. And this is where it made me think I might have been talking about that. The one and done rate that we see on that is 70 to 80%. They come in once and never come back. We drop that as well down to 30%. If you're using a direct mail company and you don't have an actual plan of what you're going to do when that customer gets there, other than what you normally do, you're simply selling yourself short. And it doesn't have to be a loyalty rewards program. Again, like with our program, you know that it's a first-time customer. So we just launched that where we're telling the advisors, everyone on their calendar, that's a first-time customer so that you can throw a party for them. Because if you get them in once, if you can increase the likelihood by double that they come in again, if they use their rewards program on the second visit, they're going to spend 40% more over the next 2 years. That's just based on all the numbers that we have. But if you get them to the third visit, the likelihood that you have the fourth through nine visit, that goes up by like 65, 70%. So it's all about knowing where they are in the cycle and giving them something other than just good service.
One of the things that we also discussed, and you may not remember this because maybe you've partied since we talked last. I don't know this.
Well, I did have surgery.
Oh, that's right. You did. God, I hope you're still doing well. Okay.
I'm fine.
You basically really hit me over the head by saying when the phone call comes in, it's karma. It's really not a selling moment. It's a confirmation moment.
Well, in that regard, yeah, it's that person has a need for sure. I've seen people handle these.
And we start talking, oh, we got this DIAG fee. We got all this stuff going on. And it makes it so complicated and confusing to the client. He says, hey, listen, so glad you called. How did you find us? You know, we've got all these ASC. And I think there's a confirm why they're on the phone with you. Yeah, I know they want you to solve their problem. Yeah, I know they're maybe looking for an appointment. But there's so many other opportunities that exist there instead of just sell, 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 schedule, schedule, schedule.
I used to listen to a lot of these phone calls. I don't anymore as much. But it's amazing to me how many times a advisor or an owner will chase away a person on the phone and where they won't lead with their real unique selling point. Not lead, but listen to the customer, see why they're calling. Greg Sands, you know, I learned this way back from him. His thing was just book the appointment, you know, and don't try to talk them out of booking the appointment. They're not asking you if you're booked out 2 weeks. They're not asking you a lot of things that you're volunteering. They're asking you, can you see their vehicle? Of course we can see the vehicle. Come drop it off, right? And if you're having trouble or if it's a price shopper, what we've done is try to educate the advisors to close with their benefits, their loyalty rewards benefits. And we've seen a huge increase in closing, but we also built into our program the automation if the advisor wants to. You know, when an advisor gets a phone call, they will know, is it a customer that I want? Is it a job I want? And is it a vehicle that I want? They kind of know that. And then they get really giddy about trying to close the deal eventually. But let's say you can't. Well, we've built it so that you can send them the details of your loyalty rewards program and a digital gift card with a graphic. Come check us out. We really, you know, and you could, they can type in a message because you have their phone number. It's almost always a cell phone, like 90 something percent, it's a cell phone. Send them that graphic. thank them for the call, invite them to come in. And that has been the shops that have built that into their program are closing a ton more appointments.
And that's a smart protocol to have at our counter. This isn't going to happen automatically, but you have to recognize the opportunity, feed it into the system, and let the system do its thing?
Correct. You have to get them into your system. Well, we haven't talked a lot about fundraisers. You're probably going to guide me down that road, but I've never seen a better source of everything that we're trying to achieve in terms of making the consumer and the community feel you more than running a strategic fundraiser. And it doesn't mean you always have to do it with the rewards program, but get involved. People inherently want to know that you're a good person. And when you do good things, it gives everybody hope, and people flock to people that give them hope. Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to my friend Tom about the Cross Business Pollinator and the fundraising that's going on and these captured moments for social media. Not that that's why you do it. You do it because your heart says you should do this, but the opportunity to boast a little bit because your heart's in the right place. I love the inside of the loyalty, if you will, strategy that you have at Pit Crew. I mean, so many other companies have it, but you've made it part of the constitution of your program.
It is. It's the lifeblood. It's about showing the world that you care about more than just making money and that you're all in it together. So the system allows you, and we do it for you, to set up these little fundraisers, which Tom, if I'm thinking correctly, that's probably Total Automotive, and that they all work really well in terms of just showing your inherent goodness. But you touched on something that's really important about how this stuff flows out to social media as well. If I could identify the biggest challenges that the shop owners have and every small business has, it's not a lack of ideas, it's execution. And how do you take this idea with all its to-do lists and make it sing, but then have it all work efficiently with all the touch points? Meaning, so you have a loyalty rewards program, the customer loves it, you have strategies like fundraisers, local business cross-pollinators, employee spotlights. All of these things address one of the biggest challenges that any small business and shop has. How do you find something fun and engaging to talk about on social media that people want to listen to? And I'm in these rooms with the social media people at conferences, and we talk about things, and even, you know, over a drink, we'll even laugh. You know, I got a phone call, the social media people be like, the shop owner wants me to make his business more interesting. And a lot of it is like, how? Well, people don't care necessarily. We've gone beyond the fun, you know, the recipe thing. If people want to work with people that make them feel a certain way or and that are good for the community, not just for their vehicle, but overall are impacting the world. And any loyalty rewards program, if it's done correctly, and you can research all this stuff that you want. You can look up self-determination theory. They talk about a lot about loyalty rewards programs. Harvard Business Review talks about what makes a good one versus a bad one. I have shops all the time that say, we're only interested in the referral program. I cringe because you want to have a loyalty rewards program and you want to lead with the one thing that's self-serving. So you only want to do it if it brings you more business. Loyalty rewards programs work if you lead the other way. If you lead with rewarding a customer for doing what's right for the vehicle, because it's good for the vehicle themselves, the shop, and the community, right? Because a well-maintained vehicle is a happy vehicle. It lasts longer. It runs cleaner. It's a safer vehicle for the consumer. Environmentally, it's better for everybody. And safety means it's better for everybody. And then if there's a little piece to give back to the community, that's good for everybody. You want to lead with all of it, not just, I'm going to make more. Do you like me? Send a referral. I'll pay you for it. And I'll get more business. It falls flat. In the world of the psychological world, it's intrinsic or extrinsic, you know, value. So the intrinsic way to do it, which is always going to yield a better result, is they're referring you because they want to. And you always want to give them choice in the referral. Do they want to earn dollars on their rewards program with the referral? Or do they want to donate it to charity? Or do they want to double the benefit for the new customer they're referring? Maybe they're referring it to a friend in need. Well, don't pay me, give it to them. And that speaks directly to self-determination theory. So self-determination theory holds if you want to build a great team or if you want people to be motivated, number one, they have to feel competent at what they're doing. So if you're hiring someone, they have to know what their job is and how do they get it done in such a manner from A to Z that they make the boss happy. That's just the basics of it. Step two, to really make them feel like they like the job, they need to have a little autonomy in the job. Am I being micromanaged? Do I always have to do it the same way? Can I inject a little bit of my own flair into it? And then step three is the relatedness. Why am I doing this? Is it just to get a paycheck or is it in service of some greater good? When you have all three, then you have a highly motivated person and you have a highly motivated team. And flip it over, you have a highly motivated customer. If they can see your loyalty rewards program, which is a snapshot of the purity of your business. And so they can see all of that in one fell swoop.
The more I hear what you're saying, the more I keep distilling this down that this is going to live or die based on the leader. So if someone decides to get your program and they only do referral, but you've got a dozen other great features that can be, if you will, gripped or integrated inside of a loyalty program, a community program, a charitable program, all these things, it seems like if your, if you will, capacity usage falls short, it's the leader who says, you know, it goes back to you send a service advisor to service advisor training and they come back and they start doing some of the great strategies that have they've been taught. And the owner says, well, we don't do that here because the owner wasn't schooled into the power or the value of doing certain things in building a real relationship, not a transactional one. That's what I'm hearing from you.
It's totally true. And it also, early on, I said, we have to make it easy for everyone, right? It's not enough to build this thing. If the owners have to babysit it all the time, it's not going to work. It just won't. So the listeners, I don't want anyone to think that they have to live and breathe this loyalty program all day long. Not at all. It's, do you get the concept? Then we guide you through it. We have a new client that launched, I don't know, let's say 2 months ago. And I got this message that said, Jeff, you know, I'm really disappointed. And I'm like, oh boy, here it comes. He said, my clients love this thing, but I would have thought that by now we would have been launching all the other features of the program. And I went back through, you know, our CRM and we had sent this person the loyalty marketing made easy, invited him to all of our meetings, right? We do two of them a week for anyone to join. So what I need from clients is simply, I told him, I said, I love that you want this more. And I own that I didn't personally call you and get you to jump on one of these meetings. But here is how we roll this out for real. You just have to say, yes, I want to do the strategies. I'd like to do one fundraiser and maybe do one a quarter. I'd like to do cross-pollinators. Are you going to go out and talk to the businesses? Or here's the list of the highest rated businesses and here's the letter to send them. All the businesses say yes. So we have mechanisms, but yeah, I'll state it to everyone in the whole world. Do I need some engagement from the owner? Absolutely. You do. And I'll tell you this. We look at the CRMs of every single shop that we sign up. Do you know 50% of them don't even know how to log in to their CRM? When we do look at what, because we don't want to send messages out that conflict. We partner. We're not the CRM. So when we look at them, most of them are only doing 2 to 4 messages and they don't know which ones they are. So there's a happy middle ground here of a shop owner taking some responsibility to set a meeting and keep a meeting. It's all we ask. And then we will drive the rest of it.
So here's my thinking, my takeaway from this. You got to put in some muscle. And I don't care if it's this program, if it's your SMS, it doesn't matter. If you sent your team for training and you don't put some muscle behind what they just learned and how it can help the shop and how we can teach everyone else, you've got to put muscle. Maybe that's the wording that a CEO or leader of the business realizes, no matter what you invest in, you got to put some muscle behind.
Some muscle, or empower us to do it for you. I don't think he'd mind. I know he wouldn't. But like with Greg Buckley, he's pretty involved, but we've taken the reins. He's like, okay, I believe in this stuff. Let's build it out and just do it. And a lot of our shops are doing that now. You know, and we even give the social media post to them. We don't do the social media posts, but if you're not leveraging this tool in all phases, you're going to get incremental results. And the incremental results are really, really good. Like you're going with any rewards program, not just my tool. In fact, even if you didn't have a rewards program, if at the counter, at the end of every transaction, you had a list of thank you very much for choosing, you know, Total Automotive. We believe in this, 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 and, you know, giving back to the community. We pride ourselves on having ASE certified techs. We do this follow-up phone call, whatever. We wash every car. You can make a list of your benefits without having a loyalty rewards program. It's just psychologically, it's about getting that customer to think about something other than the bill they just paid.
And there's a lot of successful shop owners that have that incremental ad on almost every transaction. Every time you're in the shop, something different is being done. If it's from the bottle of water, if it's the wash, if it's we fixed the light that was out. And we just did it. Why? Because it was like my grandma's car. I'm going to do it. I just got to fix it. I'm going to make it right for you.
And I studied these people, you know, before the program was really fully baked. You know, I'm always sort of onto this next idea, you know. So when I was repping parts and accessories, I was developing this thing because I was talking to shops and I was, you know, doing websites on the side, you know, back in the day and doing little aspects of this. And then I met a guy named Mitch Harmatz. Mitch Harmatz, this is one of the cool things about getting a little bit, you know, older, been around for a while, you know, and I used to cold call all these shops. I don't know how many I've been in, but Mitch had a shop in San Pedro, California. And I went down there and rolled out my program and we're walking around town. And San Pedro is kind of like a little peninsula. It feels like a small town in a really big city. And everybody knew Mitch. And Mitch had, you know, you pulled up, Mitch had that kind of white glove 1950s service and someone ran out to the car and they wore a certain uniform and he gave everyone hats and shirts of his business. And he was on the board of the food bank. He was on the board of the local theater and the battered women's shelter and the PTA, even though his kids weren't in school anymore. And this was just Mitch. Mitch was the guy who went from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m, go, go, go. And I just thought to myself, there's been many light bulb moments, but how do I bottle Mitch? You know, because Mitch was kind enough to use my program, but Mitch really didn't need my program. But a lot of people aren't genetically. Luckily, this is where software squeezes in to fill a gap.
Got it.
Most shop owners aren't genetically programmed to be Mitch. So how do you find a tool?
So we wrote it like Mitch would do it.
Did it like Mitch would do it.
What would Mitch do?
Well, Mitch would be fully involved in the community, which he was, right? We didn't even have the fundraising tool at that point. That was the genesis to start building the fundraising tool, was Mitch. And Mitch would give a hat and a t-shirt to every new customer that came through the door. That became what I now call throwing a party for a new customer. Least expensive advertising by cost of impression you'll ever have is to have a really cool, compelling brand or logo and put it on things and give it out to people. You don't need a software company to do that. I think it was Town Automotive in Buffalo that did that forever. Carm, you probably know who those guys are.
Sure do.
Yeah.
Look, I got to tell you, I think what you did in this episode, Jeff, was really highlight, you know, what a Pick Crew Loyalty does, what a loyalty program does, the app, but so many other, I guess what I heard from you is, ooh, we got to do this. Can I program it? Can I make it easy? Can I put an easy button inside the software? Can I create graphics by just pressing this button and doing it for people? Not that you're trying to be the marketing company who's managing websites and social media, but a lot of us just want something quick, done and down and dirty. And so you said, oh, you probably don't shut off. Your brain doesn't shut off like mine. Goes what, 24 hours a day?
Sadly.
Yeah, I know. And thank God St. Anne puts up with it.
It's a curse and it's also a blessing.
PitCrewLoyalty.com. I know you'd be the happiest guy in the world to pick up the phone and talk to anybody if they contact on your website, because I think the stuff that you're doing is really brilliant. I've seen it through a great friend of mine here in Buffalo who's doing a lot with it. He loves it. And business cross-pollinator, you got to come back I want to dedicate almost an entire episode on how this is working. And maybe we just bring on somebody who's doing it so well in a local community and we need to hear.
I can't talk about it now. Come on.
I would love to, but I think we need another 20 minutes to do this. We really do. I'm looking at the kinds of business relationships that a good business leader, solid community person would have, Jeff. And they've not really realized that that connection, friendship, relationship that they have with the local restaurant down there, the haberdashery, I don't know if that even exists anymore. But there's so many businesses.
Oh, Riverside Men's Shop still exists.
Oh my God, you're right, CJ. So there's a way to connect you to them and them to you. I think there's a brilliant piece of what you guys are doing that you call cross-business pollinator.
And you're so good at that yourself.
Come back within, say, the next couple of months. Let's jump into an episode and get deep into that, because I think there's some, we always want to toot our horn about who we are and what we do. But I think to be known as the friend of, you know, this great Greek restaurant down the road and the bake shop over here and the paint shop.
Yes. And all that's missing is a mechanism so that the world can see it. And then that increases all the chatter at dinner tables, online. So you're just looking for, again, that easy button that can make your social media take off.
Well, Jeff Rudnick, Pit Crew Loyalty, pitcrewloyalty.com. Thanks for your friendship, a Buffalo boy.
Thank you very much, Carm.
We appreciate your support in sponsoring the show and all the great work you're doing. I just love where this has evolved to after, what, 25 years of doing this?
Yeah, November of 2002 is when it started. Yes.
Good for you. It's
been a long road.
Talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.